Drunk on Comics Special Edition, Interviews from Grand Con Part 2. In this episode of the podcast, we had the chance to speak with, in no particular order, Travis McIntyre, Pop Man, Trico Luckins, and Josh Werner, Kevin, Jake, and Matt Miner, as well as the fabulous Cosmic Casey. Hopefully you enjoy these interviews, and we will be back next convention to bring you more.
Legendary artist from He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. What's going on, Pop?
Nothing's going on, actually. I'm just, enjoying the show. And, I guess it's everything's going on. Yeah. Nothing's going on.
Enjoying the show, working and, on some new pages.
Right, exactly. I'm working on some, finishing off a He-Man issue right now as we speak. And generally really taking in all that is Michigan.
And going to be taking in some more of it later tonight.
Yeah.
Exactly. Where are you originally from?
Washington, D.C. I think that Leesburg, Virginia, which is next to Washington, D.C.
Okay.
But yeah. People know Washington, D.C.
So we chatted a little bit yesterday. Yes. And I got and you and I are the same age. So I grew up with the He-Man toys.
Yep.
And the cartoon. Yep. Were you the same?
Yes, kind of. Meaning that I actually wanted the toys. I actually never got any because, back then as a kid, we didn't have too much money. And, or not that we didn't have too much money, but most of the toys that we got were G.I. Joes and Transformers. But so even though He-Man was cool, it really wasn't in the parental budget. I guess basically I didn't whine hard enough and loud enough for He-Man to get some He-Man toys. But, however, I watched the cartoons, so yeah. Technically I'm a He-Man fan.
Did you at least enjoy your Transformers?
Oh my goodness. I enjoy the crap out of my Transformer toys.
I collect toys still now when I go to conventions, and a wall of shelves of just...
I have a huge Optimus Prime shrine, so...
Nice.
But basically, Optimus was the one Transformer I never got. So, and I to this day, I still don't have him. Like, the original G1, Optimus Prime, I don't have him. Not that I can't get him. I think if I actually got him, then it would kind of, like, demystify the whole, I don't know, intrigue of trying to, my attraction to picking up Transformers. So, and that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've got every incarnation of, just about every incarnation of Optimus Prime.
You want to have that one piece just to say that it's not complete yet.
Right.
Well, I kind of run through the same thing collecting comics. You know, it's like, I really don't want to finish off my full list of things because half the fun is going out and looking.
Yes. Yes.
You know, and going, oh, there it is, but I don't really want to spend that much on it. Yeah.
That's exactly...
kind of the same thing. Now, how did you get into comics? How did you get into drawing comics?
So, back in high school, and here's the funniest part, is that I'm going to give you guys a qualifier here. Back in high school, I never thought I drew much. Like, I didn't draw much. I wasn't interested in art or comics or anything like that. I wanted to be a football player or whatever. Probably wannabe jock, basically. So, and that's funny because, like, the wonderful thing about Facebook is that it reminds, like, these people are like, oh, I remember you always drew in class and things like that, which is, against my, all of my memories of my own high school career. And I was like, I never drew in school. I didn't think, but I guess I drew a lot. So my roundabout thing is this. going back to the original question is that I guess I drew a little bit in high school. And then, but I saw Jim Lee's X-Men number 4 for the first time as a senior or something in high school. And after I saw that, I realized, you know what? I want to do that. That's what I want to do. And I went after it. It was kind of unfortunate. I kind of got hired like 2 years afterwards by Jim. It's unfortunate because, you know, I kind of wasn't ready. Like, you know, it was just I was way too young. Jim knew I had potential, and that's why he hired me.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, it was like I only had, prior to that, I only had like about 2 years of drawing time.
Okay.
Before I became a professional, so.
Well, I will say your work is just beautiful, so you obviously learned quickly if you felt that you weren't great then.
Right, well, it's been a 20-year bench or, you know, voyage, so.
Yeah.
It's been,
Well, and I gotta admit, I mean, the He-Man property is an interesting one because we all have that image of the cartoon and the action figures, and to be able to breathe life into that very formulaic image, that's not an easy task. And I think you've been doing a really great job on it, too.
Thank you. You know, it's actually one of the tougher things because, well, I mean, the He-Man brand has a very huge and very passionate fan base.
Yes.
And, you know, and I'd even want to stereotype a lot of them as kind of the, you know, guys our age, the cranky, you know, 40-somethings or the cranky 30-somethings who grew up with He-Man and aren't afraid to, you know, at this point in their lives, which is like mine, I'm always screaming at kids, get off my lawn, that sort of thing. So, you know, I mean, if I'm screaming at random kids, you know, on my lawn, I think I'd be very picky about my comics at this point, especially my childhood, you know, comics or my childhood property. So in that way, with He-Man, you know, I run a very fine line of trying to keep the old stuff or the old He-Man work there while making it fresh to attract newer audiences as well. So it's a very fine line I walk. So, you know,
well, yeah, and I mean, not everything has stayed exactly the same. I mean, Orko is a perfect example of...
Yeah, that blew my mind when reading the comic of like, whoa, that's just totally not what we remembered Orko as, this small little wizard.
Pain in the butt. Thing. Yeah. The cartoon, you know, that's the kind of stuff I think that adds new life to it. But yeah, I mean, it can be tough, since sure there's some purists out there that are, you know, going to be upset.
Well, I mean, naturally, I think they're one of the biggest critics of the book, as far as just like, you know, what they want. And you know, I always try to listen. I always try to keep what they're, you know, the you know, criticism there. Or I try to hang on to the criticism and try to apply it to the work I do. But they've been very helpful in like letting me, you know, exactly what they feel is, you know, what they want with the property. So it's not like I'm shooting blind, you know.
Well, obviously, drawing the comic book, you have, you know, sequences, if I can speak right, that you've got to draw to make, you know, the story flow. But is there a certain character that you love drawing more than any other ones?
Well, I like drawing, I think He-Man is probably, I mean, that's such an obvious choice. I guess it would either be a tie between He-Man or Skeletor. I like drawing bones and skulls and stuff. Not that I'm a morbid guy, but I think I gravitate to it because it's easier for me to draw like badass like skulls or whatever. So yeah, that's just my thing. By the way, I just remembered also that I hate Orko. I didn't really watch He-Man as much as I should have because of Orko.
Yeah, it's probably one of those that he could definitely push people off a little bit.
Yeah,
right.
The one other question. Now, I know that different writers have different, you know, styles of doing their script. Do you have a preference? Whether, I mean, it's like very laid out, or do you prefer to work with a writer that kind of leaves it more to your interpretation?
I'll tell you right now, man. You know, I think I've enjoyed working with Dan Abnett like immensely. His style is like everything's there, so it's kind of tight. But I really like that. I don't know, whatever Dan's style is, I guess it's what I'm really digging on right now. It's like it's tight, everything that I need to know is there, but he also leaves it open enough for me to kind of play and have fun with it. Plus, I also feel like he's got my back. Like if I do something, for instance, the sequence in issue number 13 with King Grayskull getting his neck chopped, the way that he had written it before, pardon me, was a reverse shot, actually, where you actually see everything happening from behind the chair. So that whole sequence was supposed to be, you're not supposed to see King Grayskull getting his neck sliced and by Saren and everything else. But I was the one that kind of switched it to the front, because it was hard for me to portray all of that and still, because the throne was so big.
Yeah, you don't really see anything.
Right, you really wouldn't see, the head. You would just see, a sword kind of just going across the chair. So when I flipped it to the front, I knew what he was going for with the mysticism of not seeing everything, or just being vague about what you're seeing. So I tried to portray some of that if I could. But we're showing it from the front, so there's no getting around, yeah. There's a neck getting chopped and stuff. But he was so gracious with the change. He was like, man, yeah, that was good. That was a nice change. And so, that's just cool, yeah. I totally took a script and went, meh, I don't like it, meh, or whatever. Which, I didn't do that. I was just kind of, it was more like, it just wasn't going to work the way they were written, because visually the throne was so big, so... I tried to tweak it a few times, do it from the side or whatever, but it just wasn't working. So, anyways, cool. Yeah.
Well, thank you for letting us know a little bit of inside your brain and how you work in drawing, and
And so if people want to buy you, 1980s toys, Orko.
Yes, exactly. No, buy me Orko. see if I don't throw it back at them. I will ping it off their foreheads. Bing!
So for our listeners, where can you got a Facebook or a Tumblr or a Twitter or any of those that you can?
I have them all, and the handle is all the same. It's Pop Man, PopMhan. That's M as in Mary, H as in horse, A N as in Norman, for everything.
Cool, Pop. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, man.
Well, once again, we are having a grand time at Grand Con.
That is fucking terrible.
God, I was thinking of it all day.
This is the best thing you can do?
Yeah, well, you've heard the podcast, so.
That's true. You're doing pretty good.
Yeah. We're here with Travis McIntyre from the Michigan Comics Collective. So, Travis, how you doing, man?
Not too bad, man. Just enjoying the bigger crowd today, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's filling up. People are filing through and... But
checking everything out, asking questions, that's what I like.
Yeah, you've got quite the lineup of creators here. You've got a nice, I don't know, what, four-table spread maybe, whatever it is?
Yeah, we got three tables. Mark Spector and the Grand Con people were incredibly kind to us when I got a hold of them, and I told them about the group, what we were trying to do, and, we're a nonprofit publisher and all the things that we were trying to accomplish, and they were... incredibly accommodating to everything that I wanted in terms of space, in terms of number of badges, so that we could get a lot of the creators in. A lot of them couldn't do 3 days or whatever, but some could do 1 day here, 1 day there. So they basically, they came through with every single thing that I could possibly ask for. So
and this is a little off topic from you, but it's one of the things we've always loved about Grand Con, that with their first year last year, they take such great care of their guests that, yep. It's almost impossible to say no.
they've been absolutely great. I have nothing but positive things to say about the whole team they assembled.
Yeah. So tell us about the Michigan Comics Collective.
Yeah, so I suppose it started, I self-published a comic several years ago. And, when you do that, essentially nobody really cares. So you are pounding the pavement with it. You're going to stores. You're talking to people. My buddy Steve here owns Koi's Comics in Saginaw. But we went in, and I'm like, hey, I've got this comic I made. And he's like, that's awesome. Throws it on the bench behind him. 3 weeks later, I come in. I'm like, hey, did you check out that comic? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, it's still sitting on the thing behind exactly where it sat a month ago. And, so we had a good laugh. And so ended up kind of getting talking about, I had met a bunch of people who were, curious about the comic process and how do you get it from like I've got this idea, but I've never finished anything or got anything around, or, you know, how do you publish? How do you format pages to go to printers and all of these things? And they were, some of it was stuff I had picked up through self-publishing. And, you know, because he owns a store, I was like, how can I take advantage of that as much as possible? I went around. I talked to a lot of other, all the other comic store owners in the Tri-Cities. You know, so I'm from Bay City, so Bay City, Saginaw, and Midland. And I kind of pitched them this idea.
Skipping out on Flint?
Yes.
Yeah, jumping over it.
Absolutely, no. Yeah. We'll get into Flint for sure. Just haven't yet. And kind of pitched them the idea of like, hey, listen, I want to try to create some kind of publishing outfit. It's going to take unknown artists, writers, inkers, build art teams. We'll do these anthologies. We'll partner with the brick and mortar stores that, you know, you guys put our stuff up. You know, I tried not to make it any kind of like, money is going to exchange hands or anything like that. Maybe we can just all help each other out. And, you know, the stores got behind it, and then having the stores behind it made it, you know, that made it really easy to then recruit people to be on it. Because you could start with, it's going to be in these stores, right? Like, that's your opening line is, this book is going to be in stores, right? And then people are like, oh, cool.
So I do have a question, though. I mean, so is the collective, you know, you said you're working with people that are either unknown or relatively unknown.
Right.
Once they get that name built, is it like Menudo, or are you going to kick them out?
Oh, no. Then I'm really going to milk everything I can out of them.
What is the initiation process to be part of the collective?
You could send an email to MichiganComicsCollective@gmail.com, and you could say something as simple as, I'm interested in what you guys are doing. And then me or one of the other, you know, kind of leaders will get back to you. And, you know, we're gonna be interested in anything that you have. I
think what Tony wants to know is what's the hazing like?
Oh, the hazing? It's pretty rough. It's pretty rough. You come to a meeting and you have to listen to me pontificate about things that I want done and stuff that has to happen and why aren't these pages finished yet? And then you have to go over to Coy's for like a little after party we have every month to eat, you know, McDonald's pies and drink Hawaiian punch.
That sounds doable. I can do it. I'm more or less looking for the minimum requirements here. Like, if my stick figures will allow me to get in.
I don't know about stick figures.
I can make those circle figures.
We try to be more about everybody
quality.
Gets a chance. Everybody gets a chance, and we try to be not as much about gatekeeping, right? That being said, you know, we do review everything. We do look at everything, and what we try to do is there's a handful of people that we work with like this, is we try to, one, I try to work with everybody's strengths. So, you know, if I can take somebody who, you know, they're really new, maybe they're young, and maybe they really want to learn how to do this, but they don't actually know how to set up a page. They don't really know how to tell a story, you know, using sequential art very well yet. I would try to pair that person up with maybe a writer who does have more experience, and then maybe give them the advantage of having, you know, one of our more experienced guys in comic work, like Steve Schar here, maybe have him do inks, you know, things like that. So it eases the transition a little bit for somebody who's newer, and then they get to learn from those guys that they're on a team with to pick up a few things.
That's really cool.
I mean, the same thing is true for, like, the script writers, right? You know, we try not to be, like, absolutely not, but we do have guidelines, you know. So, you know, you can check out our website, which is MichiganComicsCollective.org. We do have guidelines, so we do ask people to conform to what those are. But outside of that, I try not to be like, no, absolutely, this is not happening, it's not happening. We try to be more like, you know, let's work with this. Like, you know, this is, we've got a couple people who are published authors and whatnot, and we try to facilitate people to, like, let's see if we can rework this script a little bit. Let's see if we can make it a little bit better. Let's see if we can... A big thing is, let's see if we can teach you how to properly write a comic book script that gives an artist the information they need to actually make something happen.
Well, and one of the things that seems like it's really nice is, I mean, all the guys are in the rough same geographic area, so the collaboration process can be a lot.
That is a
personal.
Big. That's a big part of it. Actually, is like actually getting people together in the same room, and it's probably the coolest thing that's come from the whole thing, other than actually seeing so many people who have always wanted to do something, but they've never, like, gotten up off their ass enough to finish a project or didn't have anybody to collaborate with to get a project finished, actually doing that. But, you know, we have these meetings, and after we have these little after parties, and you get to watch little like projects be born as new people get to meet each other. Well, I mean, you know how that works with the con scene, right? Yeah. It's exactly like that, but on a slightly smaller scale.
Yeah.
But people are meeting each other. Like, everybody brings portfolios, and they're all like, oh, I love your work, da da da. Well, let's work together on this. Well, let's make a print together. Let's, you know, so you get to see all these little things happen in real time. And that's probably the coolest part of it for me. So we have people that are from all over the state. So, like, you know, the guys from Kalamazoo don't make it up to Saginaw that often. They've every once in a while. Brad Geisha is from the UP, so, you know, he's not a super regular attendee. So we understand that, and we try to work within the constraints everybody has. But ultimately, I would like to get to where, you know, we're still having, you know, the monthly get-togethers and whatnot, but maybe there's a base in Grand Rapids, and there's a base in Saginaw, and there's a base in Detroit, and there's a base in Kalamazoo, and there's little groups of people that are kind of working together to make stuff happen all under the umbrella of this one publishing group that's putting out, you know, a couple of anthologies a year, maybe like the normal Michigan-based one, and then a themed anthology, and then maybe a couple like mini graphics for people who have bigger ideas. That would be great.
Yeah,
I could just like all me and all my different swimsuits.
I was thinking like, you know, you, me, and Tony, we could all be the models.
Yeah.
Because
we are sexy beasts.
Yeah. We're all really, really attractive.
Yeah.
And we mostly look, the fewer clothes we have on, probably the better we look.
Yeah. And as long as we can find somebody that's really good at drawing hair, you know, then...
That should be pretty easy, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just good. All right. I'm starting to disgust myself here. But
there's going to be some really unpleasant shadows in the inner thigh area. We need somebody who's got a really dark black pen. No, it's been really fun, man.
Those aren't shadows. Those are thigh brows. So, cool. Well, Travis, I know you guys are on Twitter.
Yep.
Where can they find it?
What is it? It's at MI Comic Collect on Twitter. Yep.
All right. And we got the web address and,
and the email.
Yep.
Yeah, so, you know, please stop by, get a hold of me if you're somebody who wants to get involved, make comics, you have an idea for something that you'd like to see. I mean, I listen to everybody, basically. And we'll try anything that we think is cool.
Twice sometimes.
Often, yeah. Even things that we think are cool and then fail horribly, we'll give them another try. Just because what the hell, right?
Yeah, well, you know, that's might happen again tonight with a little, you know, let's see how the drinking goes again.
Well, I think it's going to end up being pretty similar to last night.
But tonight, karaoke.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, Travis,
you guys don't know what you're getting into.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, you don't know what you're getting into.
This is going to be one of those contests.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
No, we are so much stupider than you. You're like, no, we are the stupidest.
Watch me lick the bottom of my shoe. All right. Travis, thanks, man.
Well, thank you guys, man. Right. I really appreciate it.
Go check them out online, guys, and you will be very happy with it.
Awesome. So once again, we're able to con some artists to talk to us here at Grand Con.
That's grand. That really is grand.
I feel so conned right now.
It goes back to some other interviews we've done.
Yeah. So
wonderful puns.
Yeah, we're here with Chuck Luckins and Josh Warner. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, how's it going?
How's it going?
Not bad. You know, holding up pretty well. You know, nice little show like this, and having a lot of fun in the evenings.
Yeah. I've got a little bit of my hangover left over from getting so drunk on comics last night. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, we may have broken a couple people. I don't know.
Awesome.
But, so, guys, tell our listeners a little bit about Source Point Press. It's been a while since we've talked to you guys, about maybe a year and a half. Back at Motor City was the last time I think we got both you guys on.
So. Right on. I'll let you take that.
As always, we're putting out tons of books, tons of new items. Just this month we have Rampant, Josh's latest novel out. It tells the origin of werewolves. Really good read. Really different perspective on werewolves and their origins. We also had a classic pulp number 2 come out. It's one of my favorites. It's got the old noir detective stories from the 1930s and 40s. And what else do we have recently?
Well, we're about to put out a new book. We're shooting for the full moon of next month, October 8th. It's a werewolf anthology, so it's packed with a bunch of awesome comic book artists that did some like splash pages of werewolf art, and then a bunch of prose, like short stories about werewolves, and poetry. It's going to be a really cool mishmash of awesome werewolf stuff. So still a lot of cool horror things, you know, in the fall, which is great. And we have a new title, comic book title called Up the River, coming out. It's written by Travis McIntyre, art by Stephen Schaar and Sean Seal.
Guys from the Michigan Comic Club.
Yes, oh,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, brilliant guys.
Really They're brilliant awesome. Guys, some great ideas, some real talent, and the book's going to be awesome. That's probably, they're shooting for late November, most likely.
Okay.
So, comics, books, you know, a little bit of everything going on.
And what's going on with Jack of Spades?
Jack of Spades, the next thing that will happen is a short story that's going to take place at Source Point Presents once I get it done. And then... And so that'll tie in a little bit. And then there's going to be a release of a trade paperback, which will have that story, a short story about him from Alter Ego's Volume 1, and then Issue 0 and 1 all together, and with a little bit of bonus content.
Tons of goodies in there. There'll be some pinups, some like Marvel handbook or Marvel Universe handbook style, like dossiers or dossiers.
Dossiers.
Good call. have a bunch of those in there featuring the characters, so readers will get some more information about them.
Right.
And tons of goodies in there for fans.
The big idea is before we put out the next issue to re-grab a lot of attention on the book, get people, a bunch of people, new readers, caught up before we release the second issue.
It's a great idea, it's nice because you never know. I mean, every issue is somebody's first comic or first foray into that material. So those are always good jumping on points. I mean, because sometimes we've talked on the show, sometimes it's a little scary to jump into something that's already going.
Right, yeah. Right. Totally.
Yeah. Exactly.
So obviously you guys got your own books that you have coming out, but is there any other property where you're just like, man, I love that book so much that I'd love to be working for them?
I'll let you start. Yeah. That's such a really good question.
There's a ton of them that I've read. I'm like, man, I wish I could have been a part of that, or why didn't I think of that, or why didn't Marvel call me to write that?
Did you give them your number?
They keep on calling security on me. But
Josh, the one thing I do have to mention.
Josh wants your answer.
What do you want? What would you like to write or draw?
Well, or do you want a cop-out answer like, oh, there's a lot of them. Get one.
There's a few other things that I think like other indie creators are doing that I'm really stoked about. So I might just kill Tyler and Sarah Soul so that I can take over their Hank Steiner comic from now on. I think that'd be awesome. Which Hank Steiner just came out this weekend at this con, and it's fantastic. I love it. I wish it was me. And I already did a little piece of fan art and gave it to him today.
Nice.
But anyway, I would love to collaborate with them somehow and work on that character just someday in the future, even if we did some kind of crossover stuff. There's a character called Toots Malloy, who is a marmoset ninja blues musician. And it's from a comic book that's released in the UK. And Stephen Schaar did a short for them in the Michigan Comics Collective Anthology from their comic series. And I did a sketch for him of Toots Malloy yesterday. And the creator was really excited about it. And they're talking about maybe having me involved in the project sometime in the future. So that'd be fun. You know, stuff, cool stuff I respect that's, you know, locally going on that I'd love to be in on a little bit. Otherwise, there's always the pipe dreams, big stuff, but as much as it would be awesome to work on, you know, some like X title for Marvel, I'd really love to just take a brand new pitch to some place like Dynamite that fits their feel and, run with it with them and make their company that much better and cooler. You
know? Now, something else that got unveiled here this weekend is a new print.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, Tony?
Oh, yes, this print is the awesomeness of 80s, and not only that, but making it Halloween themed to have even more awesomeness. Back at Motor City, I had asked Josh, I just want 80s, and then we kind of were talking about how to add more 80s, and this print is just beyond amazing, and I'm still finding Easter eggs within it.
So, Tony, what is it?
It is what it said. It is awesome 80s Halloween party. I mean, you got Optimus Prime dressed up as a turtle. You have Bumblebee as the DeLorean.
Or is it the DeLorean as Bumblebee?
That's up for debate. That's a good one.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
I tried to take Tony's concept and really run with it, and we tossed ideas back and forth. I came up with a huge list of characters that would be good for the costume only, and then characters that would be good to be wearing the costumes. For example, Lion-O can wear an Indiana Jones costume, and you still know he's Lion-O. But Indiana Jones cannot wear a Lion-O costume, and you still know he's Indiana Jones. So there's certain things that work and don't, and I had a blast. I've been working on it for months, and it's finally here and unveiled, and it makes a really cool conversation piece. Tony was kind enough, even though it was a private commission for him, to let me sell prints of it, and it's getting a lot of attention.
I love, like, the Dale from Chip and Dale as Alvin.
Yeah, Chipmunk dressed up as a chipmunk. Yeah.
Beetlejuice as a Ghostbuster, and there's just so much going on in here that it's a 80s explosion.
I'm particularly fond of the one guy wearing the Detroit Red Wings hat that has a Drunk on Comics shirt. That's kind of my favorite.
Lots of cool little Easter eggs in there.
Yeah, so...
I wonder what Derek looked like in the 80s. Was he young and thin? And
I've never been young. But all right, so where can people go to find, you know, more information about SourcePoint?
SourcePointPress.com, Facebook/SourcePointPress, Twitter.
Twitter is, because they're afraid of too many consonants taking over the world, it's SourcePTPress, PT short for point, you know. There's also Instagram, SourcePointPress, all one word. And then you can find a bunch of my art stuff at joshuawarnerart.com. And you can find me on Facebook as Fall Leaves.
So, and if people want to own some of your artwork as well, they can also go buy some Drunk on Comics shirts because
you
did create our variant t-shirts.
That's right.
Yeah. So, all right, guys. Well, thanks again. Looking forward to seeing, you know, everything that's coming out. And we'll chat again soon.
Cheers.
Cool. Thank you.
Cheers.
All right, hanging out with the fabulous Cosmic Casey, the sober Cosmic Casey.
I thought you were going to say hanging out with the fabulous Derek.
Well, you are fabulous.
But I am. That's your new word, remember?
Fabulous? I don't know why the hell I keep using that all the
fabulous
time.
Fabulous by association.
Oh, that's what it is. So, Casey actually graced us with her con.
Whoa.
I got a big con, too. Yes, this is a sober interview.
Yeah. Sober-ish.
No, I am totally sober.
You are.
Yeah. We've been using the flasks all day.
Yeah. Well, we've got these ink whiskey flasks sitting in front of us that may or may not have, you know, some beverages in them.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but no, you decided to come to the west side of Michigan.
The best side.
Yeah.
So Michigan.
West side is the best side. So
I'm here with Michigan Comics Collective. Travis McIntyre had asked me the esteemed honor of representing them at their table and talking about their work. And I can talk about other people's work more than I can talk about mine, because when I talk about other people, it's very easy for me. I'm very passionate about it because I want to help and reward my friends. However, when I talk about my work, I sound like a 5-year-old. I'm like, and there was this one guy, and then another guy, and there was like, and it's really cool, I promise. Dude, this is going to be really good.
Well, here's the thing, though. We've already talked to Travis.
Yeah, so we already
you
know
have to
thing.
Talk about yourself now.
Yeah. What is it you do? What is it you like?
What's your favorite Lego?
What's your favorite color?
The ones that don't stab my foot in the middle of the
night. Do you like long walks on the beach?
You know, I've never had a long walk on the beach.
You were taking a long walk off a short pier? So Casey, what do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah.
You know, you asked me this last time. I was like, who am I?
Yeah.
Well, as of right now, I thought the label vlogger for a long time, but it's time to embrace it. That is what I do as of right now.
It's kind of like fighting that label of, like, in a relationship. It's that same weird thing.
Yeah, you fight it until you're just like, I'm in this. This is what I am.
Yeah, and you know, and then once you do, it's like, all right, fine, cool, there it
because
is.
Because at some point, it's time to grow up.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Yeah. So you're a blogger.
Yes, I'm a blogger. I'm a bit of a con personality right now. I mean, like I said, I went into this because I'm very passionate about rewarding people and helping my friends, and very enthusiastic about that. However, in February, hopefully, My horror anthology will be coming out with all short horror stories, and that will be through Rocket Ink Studios.
I love horrors.
Stories of horrors. The memoir. when that happens, maybe the Cosmic Casey thing will slow down a little bit because it's time for me to get rewarded now, me to get promoted. But I was still blog, and I love doing it, and I like making people laugh. I write humor on the site, my con videos, you know, I always try to make people laugh. And, I love what I do, even though I don't get paid. It's a labor of love, and a really fun labor of love.
You know your shit, but here's my question. Who are some of your favorite creators?
What's that?
Who are some of your favorite creators?
Creators right now?
Yeah.
Or of all time?
Either or.
Oh, I love Eastman. Let's see.
Oh, that's right. You're a Ninja Turtle girl. I forgot.
Yes.
I never knew that about you.
What?
That is awesome.
What?
Turtle power.
Let's see. I'm trying to go way back.
Like dinosaur age, like
yeah,
because
what we're talking about in my brother's room in the 80s, you know, what I was exposed to. I'm really feeling Black Science right now, anything from Image, but in terms of creators, I like Plimpton, even though that's not really a comic artist.
Yeah,
I'm a big Plimpton fan. Because I grew up on liquid television,
yeah,
so. If you want to talk about creators, I immediately go to pop culture first. Let's see.
Right. So besides Black Science, what are you reading right now?
I'm not reading anything right now, to be honest with you. I'm so wrapped up in this book, it's crazy. But Black Science is always my go-to. Let's see.
Story of my family.
Well, Vertigo has Mystery in Space out right now, which I really like. I'm really digging on the sci-fi.
So you're big on the sci-fi shit, then.
I love sci-fi. And Image and Vertigo are two that really have a nice base for that. You know, I mean, they're not exactly known for that, as they're, but in terms of selection, if you're a sci-fi person, I would go for those.
So obviously you go to a lot of conventions. You do interviews with people. You talk to them. Out of the many people that we've hung out with, you know, is there anyone in particular that you like the most?
Present company excluded.
Yeah, I mean, we know that you're your favorite to...
My favorite person to interview?
Yeah, or just to talk to, you know,
I think I've interviewed Dirk Manning like 7 or 8 times.
Though. Well, you see the commission in front of us with the Dirk on comics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dirk
yeah.
is definitely an amazing person.
Indies man in black.
Yes.
Definitely. You know, when I first met him, we were doing an interview, no idea who he was. I got his book, Nightmare World, Volume 1, like an hour before the interview. And so, in the beginning of the interview, I was like, I was perusing through your work very recently, and in my head I'm going, and very recently, I mean like an hour ago.
You know, I'm now upset that I asked that question, because now Dirk got mentioned again in something that...
No, one of my favorite interviews actually was at Motor City with Dirk. When we're like, all right, so, you know, Dirk wants to do another interview with us, or Dirk wants to do an interview with us, so, all right, Dirk, what do you want to know about us?
Right,
and
exactly.
We made him interview us.
Nice.
Yeah, he caught on pretty quickly, but like at first, you know, he thought we were going to just interview him again the many times, and we just went, no, yeah, so what do you want to know about us? And he kind of rolled with it.
Rob Shelby of Pure Human, that was a good one, only because Pure Human, you know, it's about the abduction story, so we had
that
conversation.
Is, oh,
about,
God. That, you know, that was one of those books that a year ago at Motor City I got the first one, or like the little preview book,
right.
And I had to wait until Motor City the following year, this current year, to actually get the full first issue or the second, whatever it was. And I was like going, thank God I've been waiting. Like, that book is so much fun.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good one. So Casey, where can people find you online?
Online, let's see, CosmicCasey.com. My Twitter handle is @CosmicCasey. These are both with K's, by the way. And Facebook.com/CosmicCasey.
Okay. See, okay.
Yeah. Potassium.
Yeah, potassium. Science nerds will get that one. Okay. All right, cool. Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you.
Bye. All right, we are here once again live at Grand Con for the first time, the fifth time, whatever time it may be.
Yeah, however we edit this in. So.
Yeah, and we are here with Kevin, Matt, and Jake Miner of Universe M Productions. How's it going, fellas?
Good.
Going good.
Good day.
Good little show. We're having a good time.
Yeah, this is you know, this is one of those little bit more intimate shows where you kind of get a chance to walk around, meet a little, you know, talk a little bit more than normal. So it's not quite shove it down your throat and move through like a herd of cattle.
Right. Yeah.
So tell our listeners a little bit about yourselves, how you guys got into comics, and you know, we'll kind of go from there as to what you've got going as well.
Well, we've always drawn since we've been kids. A few years back, a good friend of mine, who's a pretty well-established pro, Katie Cook, kind of gave us a lead on some opportunities. We got into doing sketch cards for Tops and Upper Deck. Worked on licenses like Marvel, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, all the good stuff. And from there, it's just kind of grown. And I think we just keep finding opportunities and things continue to snowball. We've done work for some small press. We've got a webcomic we do. We're talking to mid-range publishers. We're doing a lot of things. We got a lot of pots brewing. So.
So now, I mean, you know, three brothers, how do you guys break up the workload? Do y'all do your own thing? Do y'all, you know, and like, is there the one brother that goes, no, you're getting this?
I'm probably the no guy. But yeah, we break it down into different levels of production so we can do more and we can do it faster. You know, Jake handles almost, you know, 90% of our penciling. Matt's kind of a catch-all guy. He can pencil, he can ink, he can color, he can do it all. Does all our web stuff. He's very well-rounded. And I do like all I do all of our digital colors. And when we break it up like that, we can handle like a bigger workload.
We all do a little bit of everything, and we can pick up for each other when one guy's slacking. Yeah. We kind of pick up, so it works pretty good.
Yeah.
So which one of you is the best?
Yes, everyone will say.
Because they all raise their
hands. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
you can't tell we're raising our hand over the... Yeah.
No one can get too much props.
I saw not just hands, but a couple fingers there, too. So. Yeah.
Number one.
Yeah. So tell us about, you know, some of the projects that you guys have going right now.
Well, right off the top of my head... No Rest for the Wicked.
You know they can't see that on the...
Yes, I'm just going to show you guys so you can be like, oh, so cool. And
actually,
it is
cool because you dropped one off yesterday.
I know. So yeah. This is why we're describing it. Yeah, but No Rest for the Wicked, it's a supernatural tale of the Old West. It's all online at norestcomic.com. The whole first issue's on there. And we get some really great responses with it. And it's been really
fun. We update
it
weekly. We've got our first book up there. We went to San Diego. We've actually drawn some interest from some publishers. We won't say who, but it's something.
It may not be up for free much longer.
Yeah. Get it now.
Who came up with the concept for it?
It's my concept. This is Matt speaking. I usually when we do the concepts, we bring it to the table and we all talk about what we want to do. So I pitched it to my own brothers and they said, yes, that sounds cool. Kevin is writing with me. We've got Jake doing the pencils, and then we were keeping it loose, and we're keeping it fun. I do the lettering, and I do the layout after Kevin gets the colors done, and then we throw it up online right now.
Which the art itself was really, really beautiful in there, but I gotta give you credit on the letters, because that's one of those things that goes unnoticed a lot, but it was done very well. I mean, it's a few of the word balloons are just outside the box, you know, they're bleeding into the gutters a little bit, and I'm like, man, this is nice. I mean, it just, I don't know, it popped, and it was one of those things when I first started looking through, I was looking, talking to one of my buddies, I'm like, dude, check this out, and he's like, oh, wow, you know, I mean, it's very noticeable, it's a well put together book, and I think that's one of the things that I'm most excited about.
Well, Matt's a stickler for detail, and, you know, lettering, you're right, is one of those things that people think just kind of anybody can do it. It's a part of the storytelling.
Exactly.
And Matt does a great job.
Yeah, well, you know, and I mean, it's just like anything else, whether it's, you know, colors or the fact that, you know, in the printed book, you know, it's not your white gutters, it's that old kind of sepia toned, worn out newspaper look to it, and it adds a really nice touch to it.
Yeah, so. It gives us some atmosphere for sure.
What's that?
It gives us some atmosphere.
Yes, it does.
I have a personal question, kind of because I have a younger brother who does the show with us, so sibling rivalry. When you guys were younger, did you guys draw then and just think, oh, I'm, you know, this and that, and have your mom put it on the fridge, and did you ever envision doing this now as adults?
No, I think as kids, we always wanted to do this, and this keeps us young at heart in so many respects. We're still kids, and like, when we get properties like Star Wars or Marvel to work on. We can't help but laugh. We're like, I love this. I love these guys. I love these characters. So it keeps us young at heart. We've always done it, and now to do it and get paid.
Well, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, no
problem. And actually, in some connection with like Gen Con and the gaming, a lot of the stories that we wanted to tell started off like as characters, games, and we had so much fun. We're like, what? Like, oh my god, we love comics, we love games, and like it'd be like this inspiration, and you know, it kind of they fed off each other.
Now, is there a previously established property out there that you guys would love to work on if you had the choice?
Jeez, that's a great question. There's a lot of properties.
There are a lot. I was a comic book collector, and I would kind of distribute the books, and I had all the reference material, and I would find the shows. And what's great is I'm 13 years older than Kevin. I was off at college while my other brothers were feeding him all of the stuff I had at home. And I got back from being at college and being an adult when he was in high school and starting college. And he was totally up to speed on everything. I mean, and it's funny. It's not like I was gone for any amount of time. He knows everything that we know. And he loves everything that we love, and so it's really easy to talk about whatever ideas we have.
See, now Tony and I, we're like brothers, we're not, but I'm curious, because I won't let him touch my comics because he doesn't know how to handle them. Did you have any of that problem?
Oh my god. they used to, I swear, it was like they were taunting me. They'd leave their Justice Leagues on the floor, and like, they'd be in the bags and everything, but I couldn't, like, I'd go near him, and Matt would be like, just seriously, Kevin, get out. Couldn't we go near him? And then he's talking about it, he had these boxes and boxes and boxes of comics that he would never let me touch, and I knew they were there, but I couldn't quite get to them. And it was,
so did you ever secretly go in there and just
touch all the time?
I know he did.
No, absolutely. Every time he was out,
just come back, all the covers are dog-eared or bent.
This is my favorite. I'm going to highlight it.
I'm going to draw a smiley on him. Yeah. So, do you guys have any other projects that you wanted to let people know about?
Stupid stuff.
We like stupid stuff.
Yeah, this is another one. This is another webcomic that we do.
Okay.
Again, they can't see it, but I'm holding it. But you guys can look at it. It's kind of in the vein of The Far Side. It's more like a comic strip. We've actually been sending it out to syndicates, and we've gotten some hits. That's between Bruce Gerlach, artist from East Point.
Yep.
He does the art for it. I write it. And we have so much fun making these. It's unbelievable. We meet every other week, and like, I'll bring up the concepts and stuff, and we'll just start laughing, and he'll just start sketching them out, and we have a great time making it.
Tony's just gig one over here. Yeah. So, what else do you guys have that we need to talk about? I see Sheena sitting here.
Sheena for Moonstone Press. Sheena was written by Stephen D'Souza. Stephen D'Souza is a very well-known screenwriter, wrote Die Hard, Die Hard 2, 48 Hours,
yep.
Running Man, ton of stuff. So it was a real thrill for me to work with him on Sheena. He actually owns the license. So I did the first issue of Sheena, the cover for 2 and 3, and it's out on shelves right now. So
nice. All right, guys, so you said where they can find where we find the one comic, but where else can people find you?
Stupidstuff.com is where you can find Stupid Stuff. It's online, and we even give like insight into like what came into the jokes or why we were being extra curmudgeon-y that day when we made that joke.
And it's stupid with two O's.
Yes. Stoopid.
And then universe-m.com.
Yes.
And there are links to all of our sub-projects there.
Perfect. And I know you. I know all you guys are on Twitter.
Yep.
So, we also have a page on Facebook, Universe M on Facebook, so you can look us up there. We're always updating new, latest, and greatest.
Perfect. Well, guys, thank you so much. Can't wait to get diving into some of this stuff here. So, all right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Awesome. Appreciate it.
Thank you.